IG at VOA1 The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, John Russell has a report on how athletes are preparing to keep cool during the upcoming Summer Olympics in France. Later, Mario Ritter Jr. and Katie Weaver present this week's technology report. We close the show with the lesson of the day, but first.
The 2024 Olympic Games open in Paris late next month, and experts say especially hot summer weather is likely to return. Temperatures set record highs in Europe last summer, and France's National Weather Agency says it expects warmer than normal conditions this year. Such weather brings additional difficulty to the already punishing climate of physical competition. The Olympic athletes will have to pay more attention to their body temperatures as they train, recover, and compete. And the buildings in which athletes will stay during the event will not be equipped with air conditioning. Craig Heller of Stanford University is an expert in body temperature regulation. Heller told the Reuters news agency, "It can be very hot and miserable in Paris, as it was in Tokyo during the last Olympics, and that increase in environmental temperature has lots of effects on performance." Stanford University, in California's Bay Area, is well known for Olympic athletes. At least one medalist at every Games since 1912 has been linked with the school. Stanford-connected athletes won 26 Olympic medals in the 2020 Games in Tokyo and 27 in Rio de Janeiro in 2016. As a result, Heller and other researchers at the school have had the chance to study body temperature regulation, and the school's closeness to Silicon Valley helped the tech industry enter the playing field. Heller co-invented CoolMit, a device worn like a glove on the hand. The device helps take out heat while cooling the blood. The cooled blood is sent back to the heart and to the athlete's muscles. It is designed to be used during timeouts in games, in between sets and reps in the gym, or any short break in training or competition. If you take heat out of the core of the body, that prevents heat from building up in the active muscles, and they keep on working, Heller said. So what CoolMit does is prevents hyperthermia, rise in body temperature to a dangerous level, and therefore it enables you to have a higher work volume. And if you have a higher work volume, you get a bigger conditioning effect. The CoolMit targets the non-hairy parts of the skin that contain specialized vascular structures that ease heat loss, a study says. Once inside the glove, the palm rests on a special pad set to 10 to 12 degrees Celsius. The pad draws the heat out while cooling the athlete's blood before it reaches the level of vasoconstriction, slowing the blood flow. Tyler Friedrich of Stanford University works with athletes there, including some who went to Tokyo and are likely to go to Paris. We know if we are overheating, we will not be performing at the level that we want or that we should be. And so regulating heat and regulating core temperature in some instances can be critical to performance, Friedrich said. He said ice baths and cold cloths are often used by athletes, but are not necessarily effective. A recent study suggested further research was required to prove the efficacy of cold water immersion practices. Friedrich said the CoolMIT had made a difference. They, the athletes, noticed themselves feeling like at the end of the game they have as much juice or jump in their legs as they did at the beginning, he said. I'm John Russell.
A research group says artificial intelligence companies, AI, could run out of publicly available data for their systems in less than 8 years. Training data includes writing and information publicly available on the Internet. AI companies use the Internet to train AI systems to create human-sounding writing. This training is what developers use to create large language models. Currently, many technology companies are developing large language models this way. The nonprofit research group Epoch AI examines issues relating to AI. It has been following the development of large language models for a few years. In a recent paper, the group said technology companies will exhaust the supply of publicly available training data for AI language models between 2026 and 2032. The team's latest paper has been reviewed by experts, or peer-reviewed. It is to be presented at the International Conference on Machine Learning in Vienna, Austria, this summer. Epoch AI is linked to the research group Rethink Priorities, based in San Francisco, California.
Researcher Tame Bazirelu is one of the paper's writers. He compared the current situation to a gold rush, in which limited resources are depleted. He said the field of AI might face problems as the current speed of development uses up the current supply of human writing. As a result, technology companies like the maker of ChatGPT, OpenAI, and Google are seeking to pay for high-quality data. Their goal is to ensure a flow of good material to train their systems. OpenAI has made deals with social media service Reddit and news provider News Corp to use their material. The researchers consider this a short-term answer. Over the long term, the group said, there will not be enough new blogs, news stories, or social media writing to support the speed of AI development. That could lead companies to seek online data considered private, such as email and phone communications. They also might increasingly use AI-created data, such as chatbot content.
Beziroglu described the issue as a bottleneck that can prevent companies from making improvements to their AI models, a process called scaling up. Scaling up models has been probably the most important way of expanding their capabilities and improving the quality of their output. The Epoch AI Group first made their predictions 2 years ago. That was weeks before the release of ChatGPT. At the time, the group said high-quality language data would be exhausted by 2026. Since then, AI researchers have developed new methods that make better use of data and that overtrain models on the same data many times. But there are limits to such methods. While the amount of written information that is fed into AI systems has been growing, so has computing power, Epoch AI said. The parent company of Facebook, Meta Platforms, recently said the latest version of its Llama 3 model was trained on up to 15 trillion word pieces called tokens. But whether a bottleneck in development is a concern remains the subject of debate. Nicholas Popernoe teaches computer engineering at the University of Toronto. He was not involved in the Epoch study. He said building more skilled AI systems can come from training them for specialized tasks. Popernoe said he is concerned that training AI systems on AI-produced writing could lead to a situation known as model collapse.
Also, internet-based services such as Reddit and the information service Wikipedia are considering how they are being used by AI models. Wikipedia has placed few restrictions on how AI companies use its articles, which are written by volunteers. But professional writers are worried about their protected materials. Last fall, 17 writers brought a legal action against OpenAI for what they called systematic theft on a mass scale. They said ChatGPT was using their materials, which are protected by copyright laws, without permission. AI developers are concerned about the quality of content that they train their systems on. Epoch AI's study noted that paying millions of humans to write for AI models is unlikely to be an economical way to improve performance. The chief of OpenAI, Sam Altman, told a group at a United Nations event last month that his company has experimented with generating lots of synthetic data for training. He said both humans and machines produce high and low quality data. Altman expressed concerns, however, about depending too heavily on synthetic data over other technical methods to improve AI models. There'd be something very strange if the best way to train a model was to just generate synthetic data and feed that back in, Altman said. Somehow, that seems inefficient. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr.
Mario Ritter Jr. joins me now to talk more about this week's technology report.
It's nice to be here with you today.
In today's report, we learned that artificial intelligence systems are creating these large language models to make human-sounding writing. Is that correct?
Yes, that is one of the areas where AI is being used intensively.
So, how could these models run out of data on the internet? Isn't there a huge amount of data on computers all over the world?
Ashley, that is a really observant question. AI is being used to create large language models. These systems mine the internet for publicly available data, writing, and other information to teach themselves how to write. But computing power is becoming so great that the systems are quickly going through enormous amounts of data very quickly. Epoch AI is suggesting that all the publicly available data will be used up or exhausted sometime before 2032. Some companies like OpenAI, the maker of ChatGPT, are paying social media services and news agencies to use their privately owned content. There are also suggestions that companies could make people's private emails and texts available to help train large language models.
These large language models are also being trained on information that has been written by AI systems and not by humans, correct?
You are absolutely right. That is exactly what the chief of OpenAI said about his company's ChatGPT product. Some AI systems are being trained on information produced by AI systems, no humans involved. That raises some really difficult questions.
It sure does. Well, thanks so much for joining me today, Mario, and thank you for that report.
You're very welcome, Ashley.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Mateo.
My name is Andrew Smith.
And I'm Faith Perlow.
You're listening to The Lesson of the Day on the Learning English Podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our series, Let's Learn English. This series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
In a recent podcast, we talked about Lesson 44 of the series, where Anna says she's fighting with herself about whether to buy junk food or healthy food.
I'm hungry. When I'm hungry, I only want to eat junk food. But I know I should eat healthy food. So I fight with myself. One side says, you should eat healthy food. The other side says, but I want to eat junk food.
In today's lesson, we are going to teach vocabulary you can use to talk more about this subject.
Let's start with this idea that Anna is fighting with herself. We call this an internal conflict because it's a conflict within one's self. Or we can just say that a person feels conflicted.
And notice the different pronunciation between the noun conflict and the adjective conflicted. We stress the first syllable in the noun conflict, and we stress the second syllable in the adjective conflicted.
And we can also use the expression torn between to describe an internal conflict. Anna is torn between buying junk food and buying healthy food.
And notice how Andrew used a verb with ing after the word between. We can be torn between two choices or torn between doing two things.
So, Faith, here's a question for you. When you feel torn between two choices, how do you decide what to do?
Well, I listen to my gut, my tummy. When you listen to your gut, you listen to your instincts or your inner thoughts, right? So that's what I do. I listen to my inner thoughts. I listen to my gut. And usually my first instinct is the right one.
I think that is a good idea because you're listening to your feelings and your feelings will usually give you a good answer. You can also listen to your stomach when you're hungry.
Yes, which is what is happening now. Anna is torn between two things because she is tempted to buy junk food, even though she knows healthy food is better. The verb tempt means to try to get someone to choose something. And sometimes that thing might not be very good for you.
And the noun form of this word is temptation. So, Faith, is there any kind of junk food that you are tempted to buy when you go to the store?
You have a lot of questions for me today, Andrew. I'm always tempted to buy chips. I have a love for crunchy and salty things, hence my love of popcorn. But sometimes I want something even saltier, like potato chips or tortilla chips. How about you?
Oh, yes, I'm tempted to buy some junk food or some snack food. For me, I think it's more on the sweet side. I'm tempted to buy muffins, which are like little cakes, and donuts and cookies. You get the idea. And even though I do get tempted to buy donuts, I'm pretty good about not buying them.
But they do taste good.
True. And they are a part of Anna's internal conflict. Let's listen.
I smell fresh bread. I love the smells of a bakery.
Oh, Anna, let's buy a fresh loaf of whole wheat organic bread.
You don't have to buy bread. Buy some donuts, Anna.
You mustn't buy donuts. They are only fat and sugar.
Exactly. You know, you are really no fun at all.
And you must think having high cholesterol is fun.
Everyone likes donuts. That is why you don't have friends.
And that is why your cholesterol is so high.
My cholesterol is none of your business.
And I have lots of friends. No!
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. I am sick and tired of the both of you.
Notice that the word smell can be both a verb and a noun.
I smell fresh bread. I love the smells of a bakery.
Andrew, now I get to ask you a question. What food do you love the smell of?
Ooh, I love the smell of lots of things. I also love the smell of baking bread, of baking chicken, of curry sauce, and of flavored coffee. Lots of things. Oh, and I love the smell of fresh donuts, too.
Me too. Me too. We should explain that donuts are round sweet breads and cakes with a little hole in them, shaped like a wheel, or without holes and filled with cream or something sweet.
But what about donuts and cholesterol?
And you must think having high cholesterol is fun.
Everyone likes donuts. That is why you don't have friends.
And that is why your cholesterol is so high.
That's more technical. Cholesterol is similar to fat and is made in an organ in the body called the liver. Your body needs cholesterol, but some doctors think too much of it can cause heart problems.
I have one more food question. Anna's healthy voice wants her to buy organic bread. What does organic mean?
In the United States, organic means food that has been grown without using chemicals to kill insects or harmful plants. Many people think organic food is healthier, but it is usually more expensive.
So that means they might feel torn between saving money and buying something they think is healthier.
Exactly. Both are tempting.
We have one more expression to talk about today. Anna's internal conflict becomes so bad that she finally says,
"Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! I am sick and tired of the both of you!"
If you are sick and tired of something, that means you really dislike it and don't want to experience it anymore. We often use this expression to describe behavior or the way other people act that we don't like.
And notice the preposition of at the end of the expression. Anna is sick and tired of the two voices in her head. And because of is a preposition, we can again use a verb with ing after it.
Right. Like, I can say, I'm sick and tired of listening to that person complain. Or, I'm sick and tired of arguing with you.
But Faith, I hope you're not sick and tired of speaking with me.
I could never be sick and tired of speaking with you, Andrew. You're so fun to talk with.
Oh, well, that's very nice. Thank you. That makes me feel good. And we hope you've enjoyed the lesson of the day on the Learning English podcast.
Remember that you can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. And thanks for listening. I'm Faith Perlow.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
That's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.